Thank you so much for that. That's a wonderful special and good truth as well. I failed to do this, but if you're a part of Nikki and Cody's family, would you please stand here? If you're all a part of that, just go ahead and stand up. Recognize you guys that all came in for the baby dedication. Thank you so much for being here. I was going to do that earlier and forgot that, but we're grateful that you're all here with us today. Psalms 107, if you would please. Psalms 107. We started looking at this psalm last week, and you're like, okay, Pastor, last week you got 2 to 3 verses, and you're going to finish the psalm this week. Yes, that is a tall task, I will say. So we'll see how this goes, right? Is it, Jason, what are you laughing about? A study in thanksgiving. This is a wonderful text of Scripture. We talked about last week in verses 1 and 2 that the thanks and praise mentioned in these verses can be translated both ways. In other words, it can be praise or it can be thanks. In that, verse 8 particularly says, oh, that men would praise the Lord. So you could say, oh, give praise unto the Lord in verse 1. And you could say, oh, that men would thank the Lord in verse 8. Those words can be used differently. Also spent a little time talking about the Hebrew word for mercy, the hesed, covenant, steadfast love of our God. It's a wonderful word. And then gave some other introductory stuff. We talked about the command. God wants us to thank and praise Him from verses 1 and 2. And we looked a little bit about God's character, that God is good, God is merciful, and God's commitments to us are forever, and He is forever. A wonderful truth that is for our God, because if He wasn't forever, then somewhere this would all end, right? And where that happens would be interesting as we work through this. So I want us to see number 3 today, the celebration. The celebration. We look at verses 2 and 3. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the land of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." You know, God gives us reasons in which we're to thank Him, just some general reasons. Matter of fact, this week, and we're thinking about Thanksgiving this week, but really any week, but let's concentrate on this week. The truth is, if all we had was His redemption, we would have plenty to thank the Lord for this week, wouldn't we? We'd have plenty to praise the Lord for this week. If that's all He gave us, if that's all we had, that would be a wonderful truth for us. And you're like, well, what do you mean He redeemed us? Well, we're about to come in the Christmas season, right? Jesus came, born of a virgin, born in a manger to die on the cross of Calvary. The choir sang this, born to die. And why? Because we were sinners in desperate need of a Savior. We couldn't earn it ourselves. We couldn't do anything good enough for that. No, we needed the precious blood of Jesus. And when we repent of our sins and trust Him as our Savior, we become redeemed. What a wonderful truth that is. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're supposed to be talking about this. If we're redeemed, we're supposed to talk about it. And this, the Hebrew word here is an ongoing aspect. It's not just talk about it once. It is continually talk about how God has redeemed us. And we have an enemy, but God is greater. Aren't you great, God, for that? What, He redeemed us from the hand of the enemy? We were under capture from Him. And don't you love this too, that God is all-inclusive? From the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Like, there is no other place on the earth that you can be besides one of those. No matter where you are. So, in other words, isn't it wonderful that we can just rejoice with God in that? And so there's some general reasons in which we can thank and praise the Lord. But then He gives us some specific reasons to thank and praise the Lord. And so today, can you thank Him for redemption? Can you thank Him that you're saved and on your way to heaven and what a difference it's made in your life? I hope you can do that. And I hope this week you'll take some specific time to do that. But what about some specific reasons to thank and praise the Lord? And we get into some of the stories that He tells in this passage of Scripture, verses 4 through 6. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. So who can praise the Lord? Who can thank the Lord? Well, number one, those who are desperate. Those who are desperate. People go through hard times. Even if we're redeemed, doesn't mean we're not going to go through hard times. We're going to go through hard times. And people can feel alone in those times and sometimes are alone, literally. And people can't find their own relief. They can't really help themselves out of it. And notice what He says as He works through this. They found no city to dwell in. They cried. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted. They didn't have a solution as they worked through this. But they cried unto the Lord. What a wonderful thing. He is our only true source of deliverance. God knows the right way for us to go or the right thing for us to do when we don't know what to do or where to go. When we just say, God, I don't know what to do next. I don't know where to go next. God has an answer for us. And he provides what we are longing for when we go to him. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted. And yet, where do we find this true relief? Well, it's found in our God. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. God provides for them. And we can praise the Lord no matter what is happening around us. And we should remember the things God does for us, the wonderful works that he gives to us, that he says here in this passage of Scripture. God is very, very good to us in all kinds of ways. Notice what he says in verses 7 and 8. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He says in verse 9, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Remember, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted, they didn't have a place. God satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. See, he is the only one that can truly satisfy. Our souls are hungry for him. They're longing for him. Even if we don't know it, we are hungry for him. And God is good and provides goodness for us. He fills us to abundance and satisfies us. I love the wild song, only he can satisfy. Anxious thoughts and deep despair raid my hope and set a snare. Helpless, wondering, trapped, and weak. Jesus, you're the one I need. That's it. That is the relief that we find. And so we can thank him when we're desperate. We go to him and he meets those needs. Has your desperation caused you to run to God? But number two, those who are in darkness. Sin and death has captivated us. Verse 10. Such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Wow, what a wonderful text of Scripture this is. Sin is binding, isn't it? They sit in darkness in the shadow of death. They're bound in affliction and iron. Those of you that have lived any length of time know that what starts out just as a, if you will, a little sin can eventually become that which binds you up. Sin brings death, but it also causes us to dwell in darkness. And in this rebellious state, we're hopeless. And sometimes we think, well, I put myself in this state. But it's the same answer whether we are there because of distresses that God brought upon us for a good reason or because we put ourselves in that place. The answer is always the same. And what is that? Run to him. Run to him. Not only do we go our own way, but we despise God's way. And sin makes us, whatever we do, seem so discouraging as we do that. But God is bringing or doing all of this to bring us to ourselves. He wants us to say, wait a minute, wait a minute. Where am I really at? Verse 16 says, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Who am I trying to satisfy this longing in my soul? When you're at the bottom, the only way to look is up. No matter what we have done, when we look at him, he is gracious to us. Aren't you glad for that? I mean, let's just be honest. We can be pretty dumb sometimes. I mean, we can make some really crazy decisions. We can make decisions that we know better than to make. And then when we get in the mess that we're in, we say, oh God, you got to get me out of this. He would be justified in saying, no, you got yourself in this mess, get yourself out. But that's not what he does. And not only does he not do that, but I love this about him. He can use the mess we got ourselves in for his glory. Put us in positions where we can do it. And I've said this often to you. There have been times when I stood before a group of men or before a group of people, and the only reason I'm standing there is because I was in the Marine Corps, and yet I went in the Marine Corps in rebellion to God. Only God can do that. Only God can take a sinful decision that I made and turn it to His glory. What a God we serve. That's a way to praise Him for it. When we realize all that God has done, praise and thanksgiving is all we should do, all we really can do. He is good and does good things, even the prison that gets our attention. It's good for us. So you look to God in your darkness. Have you thanked Him for what He has done for you? But number three, those who are headed for destruction, again, by their own choosing. Look at verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. And He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. By our own choosing, we are headed to destruction. And yet, even in the midst of that, He sent His word. They cried to Him. What a wonderful thing. See, sometimes our sin brings us our own difficulties. I've had people say to me at times, I can't believe God's doing this to me. And I'm thinking, God didn't have anything to do with this. You got in this mess on your own. This was all of you. Now God will help you out of it, praise the Lord. We are demonstrating our foolishness when we sin. Our sin can take us to a place of self-destruction. For instance, it says here in verse 18, we don't want to eat. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near to the gates of death. What a crazy position that is, and yet we're there because of our own choosing. No matter how far we think we have gone, God is ready to listen when we cry to Him. God, I am at the end of myself. And it's amazing what it takes to get them there. Then they cry unto the Lord in trouble. When they're almost dead, when their iniquities, when they're afflicted, when they get to this point, then finally they cry unto the Lord. But let's be honest, we can be stubborn that way too. Well, we don't cry unto the Lord until the very end. God, you got to help us. God is willing to save us even from our own sinful choices if we turn to Him. And He says in verse 20 that He sent His word and healed them. Aren't you glad for the word of God that heals and delivers us? It's one of the reasons why we say often around here, spend time in this book. It is healing in its very nature. It's amazing to me how many times, just in my personal devotions, timing God's word in the morning, that God meets a specific need. And you think, well, the God of the universe had all this orchestrated so that I would be in that chapter on this day when I needed it. What a God. It's not necessarily a given that men will praise the Lord, but God sure wants it. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Can I just say this to you? If God has been good to you, and the answer to that would be everybody in this room, and you don't praise Him, God's longing for that praise. He's longing for it. We should do that for Him. Genuine thanksgiving should cost us something. Notice what He says in verse 22. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Some of you are like, well, I'm a little out of my comfort zone. Okay, maybe that's the sacrifice God wants from you. Or maybe it's something else, but David said, I'm not going to give to the Lord that which doth cost me nothing. I want it to cost me something in the process. We should talk about all that God has done, and we should do so with a joyful heart. Have you thanked Him for bringing you out of destruction? These are reasons that we can thank the Lord. Number four, for those in the depths. Now, this is an interesting passage of Scripture. Now, there are a couple of ways to interpret this, but I think if you read through it, I want you to think about guys on a ship who are in a storm. They're seasoned shipmen, but they're in a storm that they don't have a clue how to deal with. Okay? So if you think about that, I think it'll help you with this text, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, they do business in great waters. So these are sailors. They know what they're doing. These see the works of the Lord. In other words, they have opportunity to see God too and His wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. Who commanded that? God does. God commands it, okay, in this particular situation. We know that from Scripture, right? He commanded a storm for Jonah. He commanded all that kind of stuff. Verse 26, they mount up to the heaven. That's the wave. The boat is on the top of the wave. And they go down again into the depths. That's when they're at the bottom of the wave. Their soul is melted because of trouble. I don't know if you've ever been on the ocean in a storm. I've spent several days on the ocean, okay? We didn't encounter really big storms, but it's amazing how that ship can be that big and move with those waves. My first time on a ship, I sailed from Okinawa, Japan, to Korea, and I was sick the whole 3 days, and it was not fun, and I was not about to take that patch behind my ear. They had one, but I'm just telling you, how they treated guys who took that patch, it was not worth it to me. You're like, you're stubborn. Call it whatever you want, but it wasn't worth it to me, okay? But it's interesting because, you know, they say eventually you get your sea legs. You do. Because when we sailed from Okinawa to the Philippines and from the Philippines to Okinawa, didn't get sick a lick. It was great, you know? But on a ship, it's interesting how much it does this all the time. You were in the Navy, weren't you, brother? It's amazing. I can't imagine being in a storm like this where it would lift it way up and then drop it down into the depths. You ever been in a really bad storm on a ship? No, okay. You are a fisherman too, so I wonder about that. Hopefully you're smart enough not to be out there, right? But anyway, that's the deal. Verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. So literally the storm is so bad it's slinging them all over the ship. And these seasoned seamen have no idea what to do. They're at their wits' end. I don't have a clue what's going on. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he bringeth them out of their distresses. And he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. Now we think about New Testament stories, right? Of where Jesus just calmed the water and it was like, boom, immediately. The storm just, boom, right there. And it's like, what did the disciples respond? What manner of man is this? I mean, the storm didn't just stop, it became calm instantly. And the Bible says, and he brought them into their desired haven. So they cried to God, God instantly does this. They didn't have to throw a Jonah overboard, at least I don't think that's what it's referring to here. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Isn't that amazing? And he says, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Do you think if you were on a storm that was that bad, where the ship felt like it was in the heavens, the wave was so high, and then plunged down the other side of the deep, you're staggering all over the ship, you can't even stand up straight, and you are totally at your wits' ends, and you cry to God, and boom, it immediately becomes calm, and you're at your haven. Don't you think you'd be telling people about that? You'd be telling people, and they'd be looking at you like, what, you okay? Because I'm not sure you're right in the head. You know, that kind of story's not good, right? But it happened exactly this way. So those in the depths, we see the handiwork of God in everyday life. These are seamen at sea. This is what they're doing for a living. God is evident everywhere we look, anywhere we want to look. And this is important for us. God's in charge of the weather. He's in charge of the weather. He taught us that on sabbatical. It rained a lot. It rained a lot on days it wasn't supposed to rain. We were like, Lord, what's going on here? We're supposed to have a picnic. You can't have a picnic in the rain. The buns on the hamburger do not stay the same if it's in the rain. You know, it's like, this doesn't work. The storms of life and the literal storms are not just allowed by God, but he commands them. In other words, God commanded this storm to come. Amazing. I'm grateful that he is our God. But the truth is, storms can really shake us up. I mean, these are seasoned seamen who are at their wits' end. They don't know what to do. External difficulties can impact our internal being. We can literally feel like we're melting away because of what's happening. See, one of the purposes of a storm is to bring us to the end of ourselves, to say, God, I don't know what to do. And if you don't help us, we're in trouble. That's the bottom line. See, trouble should cause us to run to our God. When we turn to him, he delivers. Now, he doesn't always deliver the way we think he should, right? I would love for him to always deliver the way I think he should, but he doesn't. And the truth is, we ate our hamburgers in the car because it still rained. He didn't stop the rain. But I tell you what he did do, changed my attitude about the rain. Because that's what he was really after. What he was really after was whether or not I believed he was sovereign, including over the rain. And he was. And he is. Yes, he delivers. When we turn to him, he delivers to us. And this is demonstrated over and over and over in this chapter. And over and over and over again. What does God do? He helps. And God has power over nature, over our difficulties, and he can bring peace beyond anything that we can understand. He makes us glad, or it should make us glad, when he brings the peace in our life. God brought them safely to where they should have been, the desires of their heart, their haven. Storms can throw us off course unless we run to the Lord. Lord, what are you doing here? I'm going to go to you. So our thanksgiving and praise should be done in public. He says before the assembly and the elders of the people, they are to do that. We should be willing to praise him even before important people. So when's the last time you praised and thanked him in public? Just said to someone, boy, God is good. I mean, he has been good to me. And you're like, well, I've had a rough year. Okay. Are you redeemed? It's a good reason to praise the Lord. And like I said, if that's all we had, it's a good reason to praise him. With that, I was thinking yesterday, I think it was yesterday evening, I typically write a Thanksgiving letter for our family. And so I was contemplating, okay, what should I write about? And I thought, we've had quite an eventful year. I mean, kidney stones and surgery, and we had one of our son-in-laws get a doctorate's degree. We've had good and bad throughout this year. Can we praise the Lord for both? Because he's good. We look at number four here, God's control. Verses 33 and following. He says, I want you to notice this now. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and water springs into dry ground. God has the ability to do that. A fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into standing water and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell that they may prepare a city for habitation. So the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. You know what God's saying there? God said, I can take a desert and make it a fruitful plain. And I can take a fruitful plain and make it a desert. And I can take a piece of land that doesn't produce any fruit and I can make it abundant in fruit. And I can take a piece of land that is abundant in fruit and make it no fruit at all. And I can take a wilderness and turn it into a river. I have the capability of doing all of that. And I can bring those that are really, really low up. And I can bring those that are really, really high down. That I'm in control. God is sovereign. He's sovereign. Now, again, there are several ways that some interpret this passage. I'm choosing to deal with this from the standpoint of God dealing with sin. Is there other aspects of this passage that could be involved here? Absolutely. But I want to look at it from that standpoint just for sake of today because we could spend a lot more time here. But the truth is God can and will deal with sin. He can take these fruitful lands and turn them into barrenness, and he can take barrenness and turn it into fruitful lands. And he made that clear to the nation of Israel, didn't he? He said to them, look, you'll know when I'm blessing you because you'll have the right kind of rains. And if you don't have the right kind of range, you'll know that you've disobeyed me in some way. God made that abundantly clear to them. Isn't it amazing that the children of Israel wondered what was going on when they had a drought? Isn't it amazing that Ahab is wondering what's going on? And Elijah's like, what do you mean what's going on? I can tell you what's going on. You're going on. You're the guy that's causing the problems. You've rejected God. And God told you he wasn't going to send rain if that was the case. By the way, there are the plains, some of the plains of Israel are some of the most fruitful plains in the entire world. Unless you don't have rain. Unless the rivers are stopped up, then you don't have any goodness. That's exactly what God is saying. He can take away good things from those who are wicked, and God can use natural things to get our attention. But he can also bless. He can send water and water springs and fruitful fields to those who are walking with him. In other words, God can do the impossible. And God provides places for the hungry who seek and praise him. And even though God is blessing, they are to participate in it. They can build a city. They can plant crops and so forth. And God gives them children and material blessings. Yes, God can do all that. So he can deal with sin, but he can also bless. God can also work in our difficulties. Verses 39 through 41 tell us this. Again, difficulties will come. Difficulties can come externally. They can come internally. And many of us have experienced those this year. It can come from sin, but it can come from living in a sin-cursed world. It can come simply because God is trying us. It doesn't have to be because of sin. When we walk away from God's way, we are directionless. There is no way. They hold leadership. God will hold leadership accountable for the choices that they make as well. He talks about that. Again, God can deliver us from these difficulties, the needy and the abused situations. And God's goodness can be seen in the families he gives us. He provides protection and provision and social needs, he says there. He setteth the poor on high from affliction and maketh his families like a flock. Now, the truth is, we love to brag about God's control when God's control is doing what we want it to do. And we don't like God's control when God's doing what we don't want him to do. It's like, yeah, Lord, I didn't want you to solve that problem that way. I have an idea how I think you ought to solve it, and this is what I'd like for you to do. Now, don't look at me like this little ding up here, because the rest of you have said some things to that God, too. Like, whoa, wait a minute, God, I didn't mean you solved the problem this way. I was talking about, you know. Yes, are we thankful that God is in control? I love these last little sections here. In verses 42 and 43, the righteous shall see it. Shall see what? All that he's described in this chapter. All that God has delivered from, the cycles that he's walked them through, all that men would praise the Lord. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Can I tell you that when you live your life before God, even in the difficult times, in the times that make absolutely no sense, you go through them with a joy and a peace that only God can bring. The world goes, I don't know how to answer that. It doesn't make any sense that you should go through these difficult things and have that. Whoso is wise, verse 43, and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Number five, the credit. Who do we give the credit for all of these things? Well, I had a good year because I worked hard. Children of Israel worked hard and they put money in bags with holes, God says. Without his blessing, we're in trouble. We're all in trouble. Those who rejoice in watching God work are demonstrated that they're righteous. And righteous people take notice of what God is doing, and eventually the wrongdoers will stop their mouth. Now, maybe not immediately, but they will eventually realize, hey, I don't know. I remember talking to a lost man one time, and he said to me, he said, you got it made. That's what he said. He said, not only is God good to you here on this earth, I had been sharing the gospel, not only is God good to you here on this earth, but he said, you people are so joyful. And he was referring to us at church as well. And he said, and then when you die, you get heaven. And I said, it's a good deal, isn't it? He said, yeah, but he wouldn't believe it. He could see it demonstrated. He knew the deal. See, wisdom recognizes that God knows what he's doing. Even in the midst of our sin and forgetting him, even then, his loving kindness is evident. Aren't you glad for that? Now remember, from last week, this word loving kindness is our hesed word. It's the mercy of God. It's the covenant keeping. It's the steadfast love. It's the word that's almost impossible to put into it exactly what it is. His loving kindness. So who is wise and will observe these things? Even they shall understand that God always keeps his word. That God is merciful. That God's love is steadfast. That God is compassionate. That God loves us. All these things are obvious. whether we are looking at God's wonderful works or we are obeying Him, we will see His covenant love. See it demonstrated. Do we take the time to see what God has done? Do we rest in His covenant love? I mean, just say, okay, God, I'm a mess sometimes. Any of you get to your time in God's Word in the morning or something like that and just say, God, I'm just a mess sometimes, right? It's like, I don't know what in the world you're doing with me, you know, because I'm that way too sometimes. I'm like, ah, Lord, there I go again, you know. Steadfast love. Unchanging. See, if you know Christ as your Savior today, there is not one single thing you can do to get Him to break that covenant. Not one. What a deal. And people have said, well, if you really believe that, that'll lead you to do all kinds of wrong stuff. Can I just tell you? I think if you believe that, it'll make you want to serve Him. It'll make you want to say, I don't want to disappoint Him. Are you kidding me? With this kind of love and this kind of... No, I don't want to disappoint Him. I want to do exactly what He wants me to do. Unconditional love. Amazing. So, as you enjoy this week, and you should, by the way, there's passive scripture, and I've preached this before, but there's passive scripture where God said, you've worked hard, go enjoy yourself. You're like, really? Really. Have the turkey and the mashed potatoes and the gravy and all that good stuff. Just don't have mac and cheese. It's an inside joke for our church if you're not here. It's okay. Have at it and enjoy it. It's okay. Food, family, the fellowship, the football, maybe, depending on who wins that day or whatever. These and other good things that God has given to us. But during this, take the time to thank and praise our great God for all He has done. Why? Because if we're really understanding the covenant love of God, we'll recognize Him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. You are always good, and You are only good. And Lord, the truth is that doesn't always look that way to us, but we know that. And Lord, You are the satisfying of our soul. Only You can satisfy. I'm so thankful for that. And Lord, thank You that You're good to us, that You redeemed us, that you help us out of the messes that we get into. That even when You bring difficult things in our life, whether it's prison bars or storms or whatever, when we run to You, You change us. You help us. You deliver us. How wonderful that is. So may we, this week, the truth is all weeks, but may we, particularly this week, thank and praise You how You deserve. And we thank You for it. In Your name we pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, can I just ask you this morning, again, it would be pretty easy to do a generic invitation. I don't want to do that. But can I challenge you? When's the last time you genuinely thanked God or praise God for some of these things? You're like, well, I mean, I have. Wait a minute. If you can't pinpoint a time, I'd recommend you do it now. He's been way too good to us. Way too good to us. And you're like, well, Pastor, it doesn't look like He's good right now. Okay, then thank Him for His goodness by faith. Because He is a faithful and good God. Will you praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men? That's what He wants. Would you stand together? They're going to begin to quietly play. If God's spoken to your heart, would you come? Just come and say, God, I've not thanked You enough. I've not praised You enough. Maybe just sitting there in your seat and saying, Lord, the truth is, I've not been near the thankful and praised person that I should be, but I want to be. Would you let God work?